Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency, all things homesteading, and about how we can reduce the gap between our consumption and our production. Sustainability and food security matters. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 393 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. Today, we are doing a 4x4 episode, four things to do before the end of September. Now, my work schedule, tiny bit of housekeeping coming up. My work schedule is absolutely horrendous at the moment. So I'm just warning you in advance that some of these episodes are not recorded like a day or two within their release date. They might be recorded in advance. So just to warn you of that, I might be a little bit out of step if there's been some breaking news in the Self-Sufficient Hub universe or outside of it. I may not be aware of it as I'm recording. So just bear that in mind. But I think that's about it. That does go for the next couple of weeks. Like I say, my work schedule is absolutely horrendous. The other thing to say is that I am undertaking my September challenge at the moment. Friday's episode was an update on that, and I'll be doing another update later in the week. But if you want to get more frequent updates, I will be uploading a video every 2 or 3 days on the YouTube channel if you'd like to keep abreast of my September challenge. Right, let's get into today's four things to do before the end of September. And it's a good one. It really is a good one this month. I'm really excited to share these with you. These are things that I'm excited to go and learn myself, some of them, and practice and do. So yeah, strap in. So the first thing that we're going to talk about today, the first thing that I want you to do, have a go at before the end of September, and this is one that I do regularly, and it's an integral part of how we live here and how we cook in the kitchen, is to learn or practice rendering fat. Now, of course, this won't apply to the vegetarians or vegans. I apologize. But for the meat eaters out there, I want you all to learn how to render fat, or if you already know, I want you to practice it. Get some fat rendered this month. And if you've never done it before, it really, really can be super, super simple. So rendering fat is something I'm going to do an entire episode on in the next week or two. So if you're not sure where to start, we're going to go into this in quite a bit of depth. But for now, let's just keep things really, really simple. Basically, if you're cooking meat, almost all meat has a certain amount of fat in it. And that fat might have different names depending on the animal. For instance, in beef, we call that tallow. And in pigs, we call it lard. But that doesn't really matter because the process is quite similar. Now, the actual characteristics of the fat that you render will be slightly different. But we don't need to worry about that for the purposes of what we're talking about today. I just want everyone to have a go at it. Now, it can be as simple as if you're cooking meat, particularly a big joint, if you're cooking a leg of pork, for example, or even just a steak, a beef steak, whatever you're cooking, if it's got a decent amount of fat on it, then what's going to happen if you're cooking it for long enough is that fat is going to actually melt, and it's going to join in. If you're pan frying, it's going to join in with the oil and the pan that you've already put in there, which is why if I'm cooking a fatty piece of meat, if I'm frying up some ham, some diced ham or something like that, and it's quite a fatty piece of meat, I'm not going to put any oil in the pan. I'm just going to allow the fat to render out, and that will produce the cooking oil that I want to fry in as it cooks in the pan. If you're cooking in the oven, like I mentioned, a leg of pork, then generally speaking, pork is quite a fatty meat. And over the course of the cooking process, that that fat is just going to literally melt, and it's going to melt down over particularly if you're cooking over a longer period of time, for a few hours, it's all going to melt down, break down into a liquid. Now, if you're cooking in the oven, you're also going to get other liquids. You're going to get water, and perhaps you're cooking it in some kind of a bit of wine or something else you might have added to give flavor to it. That's all fine. What's going to happen is that is all going to mix together in the bottom of your cooking pan. Now, all you want to do for the simplest method, and to save the fat that you're already using, for the simplest method, you just want to, at the end of the cooking process, strain all of that liquid through a fine metal sieve, or better still, a cheesecloth within a sieve. So you're going to take out all of the impurities and then just let that liquid cool. And when it cools, the fat will separate out from the water and the wine, anything else you might be cooking with it. And that can be taken off and saved in your fridge. And you can use that for frying the next time you want to fry something in. So just by saving some of the fat from what you're cooking, you're then also not going to need to use cooking oil and things like that for frying in next time. You can do the same if you're just frying bacon. Saving the fat from that is amazing for then cooking other things in. So that's the first thing I want you to all do by the end of September, is to save some of the fat from your cooking. Learn how to render fat, learn how to render a new type of fat a different way, and just actually save some, actually render some fat and save it. Like I say, we'll go into a lot of depth in the coming couple of weeks when I release an episode all about rendering fat. We'll talk about how you can use it for other things as well. So that's number one, render some fat. Number two is to harvest and preserve herbs. Now, if you're growing any of your own food at all, you've almost certainly got some herbs. And if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, in September, we are getting towards the end of our main crop growing season, which is fine. Nothing to be sad about. It means that we get to live and preserve and just enjoy the fruits of our labour. So I'm much less sad at this time of year than I used to be. It's just a lovely time of year now to focus on other things. We're not there yet. We're still in the main crop growing season, and depending on where you are, that could be for several weeks, but we are definitely towards the end of it, and this is the time that we want to start thinking about harvesting and preserving herbs. Now, depending on the herb, it will depend on how you want to preserve it, but some of the easiest ways of preserving your herbs include freezing and dehydrating. We tend to dehydrate most, but we will freeze some. But there's an awful lot of choice out there, depending on what you're doing. If you've got a bay tree, you can harvest some of those leaves and dry those. If you've got basil, nice big basil plants, you're definitely going to want to harvest and preserve them before the frosts come, because they won't do them any good at all. There's also all of our other herbs, which are all now at a point where we can think about harvesting and preserving. So there are some herbs that we don't need to do this with necessarily. Some of our evergreen herbs, like rosemary, we can just use fresh all year round. But not all herbs come into that category. We've got some biennials as well. So parsley is something that, generally speaking, we're only going to grow every year, a new plant, or every 2 years. So perhaps you want to harvest a lot of your parsley now, ready to reseed next year. Whatever it is, you want to get that done and get that dehydrated or frozen, or however else you're going to preserve it. If you're going to make a tincture with it, maybe you're going to make a forget the word now, but when you put lots of mint or something like that in alcohol, maybe that is a tincture. Maybe I'm getting confused with my terms. But however you want to preserve them, now's the time to think about it. So get on and harvest those herbs and get preserving. That is number two on our list. Number three, the third thing on our four things to do before the end of September, is to draft proof all of your doors and windows. We all know about the cost of energy at the moment, and the cost of heating our homes is going through the roof. But even if it weren't, this is something we should all really think about doing, because whatever the cost of energy, it's still foolish to waste it. So draft proofing our doors and windows at this time of year is really, really worthwhile, particularly if you live in an older property. And I know the property that we lived at previously, when we had the thatched cottage, the front door when we first moved in had gaps around it big enough for mice to just walk straight in. So that was one of the first things I did, was set about adjusting that door and frame and making those gaps much smaller. And then we started draft proofing it, which can be really, really simple. But specifically talking about doors now, there are a few things on our front doors that we're going to want to give special attention to. So firstly, you've got quite possibly a letterbox. So you can think about putting some draft excluders on the inside of those, whether that's those sort of furry strips or a second letterbox that kind of flaps down and seals it shut. But you've also got your keyholes, which you can put special fobs over to stop that draft pushing right through that keyhole. And then the same with our windows now. You've got the entirety of the frame all the way around it. You've got the part where the opening bit meets the frame, so the bit where your door shuts into, but then you've also got around the outside of the frame as well. And it's really worth just spending a minute with putting your cheek up against those areas, or down on the floor, resting the front of your wrist in that area, and just seeing if you can feel any drafts coming through. And then if you can, doing everything you can to reduce them. Quite often this can be done from the outside with a bead of silicone, and that's, I'm talking about on the outside of the frame now, where the frame meets the building. If it's where the actual opening and closing portion of your doors and window meets the frame, then you're going to want to think about some draft excluder strips, something that's going to fill that gap, fill any little holes, and stop that wind whistling through your house all winter. Now is definitely the time to do that. So draft proof your doors and windows. So our first three then of our four things to do before the end of September are to render some fat, to harvest and preserve your herbs, and to draft proof your doors and windows. Now the last one, and this is one that I have done a little bit of, but I really want to expand my knowledge of over the next few weeks. So I'm going to talk about it a little bit more. And that is to make some vinegar. Start making some vinegar. Now, I have made really successfully apple cider vinegar in the past. It's one of the easiest things you'll ever do. And you can make it from basically the leftover parts of apples that you might not use for other recipes. Just the cores, the peel, whatever it is you're going to be discarding. This is all you need, along with some water and a little bit of sugar, to make your apple cider vinegar. Now, you can do this from scratch without a mother, and it will take you quite some time, maybe 6 to 9 months, I would suggest, is the minimum really to make a really good apple cider vinegar from scratch. But once you've got that apple cider vinegar mother, you can make your next batch far, far quicker. And the same applies across the board. You can make all kinds of vinegar. So balsamic vinegar is made with unfermented grape juice that's left to age for well over a decade usually. And red wine vinegar can be made just from red wine and some white vinegar. That's all you need to start making that. So there's lots of different recipes out there. Do your research and find a recipe that works for you, but make some vinegar, or at least start, because I think it's one area I've kind of neglected. I tend to use either shop-bought vinegars or apple cider vinegar. That's the one that I make that we use, and I learned how to do that, and it went really, really well, and it's a fantastic vinegar, and we use it for most things now. But I haven't gone on to try and learn some of the other techniques to make other vinegars. So that's what I'm going to be doing over the next little while. And of course, I will report back with the results. But in the meantime, you should get on and have a go at making your own vinegar as well. My apple cider vinegar making is on YouTube. You can search that on my channel, I'm sure. But in the meantime, if you're not going to have a go at that, just find a vinegar recipe that you like the look of. I really want to have a go at making balsamic vinegar, and I know that it needs to age for a long, long time. time, usually over a decade, but that's not going to put me off. I would really, really like to try that. But there's vinegars are one of those things that the more competent cook I become, the more I appreciate the value of different flavored vinegars and different uses for different vinegars in different dishes and different nuances you can get with making your own vinegars. I'm really, really starting to perk up to that idea. So that's it. That is number four in your four things to do before the end of September. And as always, the point of these are, I've always maintained right from the word go that if you genuinely make an attempt to do all of these things in the 4x4s right through the year, I think you'll get to the end of the year and you can look back and think, I have achieved more than I would have if I hadn't. I am more self-sufficient than I would have been. I've learned skills that I wouldn't have. So please do have a go, because I try and set the bar so that they are things we can all do. We can all have a go at saving a bit of fat from something that we've cooked, assuming that we eat meat. We can all have a go at making a vinegar. It really isn't that difficult. We can all harvest and preserve herbs, and we can all spend a bit of time trying to draft proof our house. None of these things are beyond you. So please, please, please do have a go. And as always, let me know your results and share your results on the Facebook group. Right, that's it for today, everyone. Thanks ever so much for tuning in, and I will be back on Wednesday with probably another update from my self-sufficient challenge. Thanks for listening, and I'll speak to you really soon. Cheers. This episode of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast was brought to you by our patrons. You guys are awesome. If you'd like to support the show, there's lots of ways you can do it. The easiest of which is just to like and review it wherever you get our podcasts. You can also tell somebody about it, whether that's on social media or just face to face with a friend who you think might benefit from it. But however you support our podcast, we really, really appreciate it. If you'd like to become a patron, please consider doing so by going to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. However you support the podcast, it's listeners like you that make all of this possible. Thank you ever so much for listening, and I'll speak to you really soon.